Father's Day. Praise God. Let us pray. Lord, we say, come Holy Spirit, join us in this place. Father, we thank you for everyone gathered here today on this Father's Day that we celebrate our fathers, our most important father. We celebrate you, Lord, and we thank you, Father. We thank you for every blessing in our lives. We ask that you open our hearts and minds this morning, Lord, to receive another blessing, a blessing of your word. And may it guide us, and may it teach us, and may it give us hope and joy and peace. I ask that you bless everyone here and those who couldn't be here today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. My sermon title today, Don't Let Jesus Pass You By. Amen. So good morning, happy Father's Day to everyone out there. God bless you guys. Can also pray a blessing. I want to also pray a blessing upon those of us who have lost our fathers and our husbands that are fathers as well. But for those Christian fathers, it's a blessing, a blessed assurance to know that we will see them again. Amen? Amen. So Lord, we lift up our fathers to you today, and let us pray. Lord, we lift up our fathers to you today, Lord, that you may give them strength to press on in their roles as leaders in their families, but more importantly, Father, as role models for their children. Lord, we ask that you grant them strength, peace, wisdom, and courage to lead us in this difficult time, this difficult world that we live in today. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that our fathers are to all of us. And we also thank you for the comfort that those of us that you comfort those of us who have lost our fathers. And we thank you for the hope and the promise that we will see them again, Lord. But most importantly, Father God, we thank you, our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So before we get into today's text, where we're going to talk about the blessings of a father, amen, the blessings of a father that we all share as children of God, I want to tell you a few dad jokes, okay, of course, right? Seriously, when does a dad joke become a dad joke? When it becomes apparent. That's right. Who got it? Pastor got that one? Oh, all right. Derek got it. All right. What do you call thousands of rabbits walking backwards? A receding hairline. My friend was showing me his tool shed and pointed to a ladder. He said, "That's my step ladder. I never knew my real ladder." What did the daddy spider say to the baby spider? Anybody got this one? "You're spending too much time on the web." How does Moses start his mornings? He brews a pot of coffee. He brews a pot of coffee. Okay, last one. The ark, you're going to love this one, especially those of you who've been in the Wednesday study, okay? The ark was built in three stories. The top one had a window to let the light in, but how did the bottom two stories get their light? Anybody know? They used floodlights. All right? Amen. That one takes a minute, huh? I wish I had my drum here, right? Hey, Marvin. They use floodlights. Amen. All right, here we go. Now we're going to talk about the greatest gift ever given by a father. Amen. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So Jesus had just finished telling everyone that those who leave their old lives, remember, to follow him, that they shouldn't have to worry about what they're leaving behind. Don't worry about what you're leaving behind, he said, because you're going to receive many times as much in this age or in this life and in the age that is to come. Remember, the rich young ruler didn't like the idea, right, of leaving everything behind, his riches, and he would go away sad. He would walk away sad. But now, in their eyes, Jesus had some more bad news for them. In their eyes, he was going to predict his death a third time. And he had already told them twice in chapter 9. But just like the last time, it says they did not understand because it was hidden from them. They wouldn't understand because it was hidden from them. And in our first verses, it says that Jesus took the 12 aside and he told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him." I think right there, a lot of them probably stopped listening. "And kill him, and on the third day he will rise again." And it says the disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. So either they didn't understand, they didn't want to understand, or God didn't allow them to understand. Amen? Or maybe all. But maybe that was for the better, because who knows how they would have reacted. Amen? We know how they reacted when one of his followers cut off the ear of a Roman soldier just for arresting him, let alone killing him. Amen? Who knows how they would have acted? They just weren't ready. So in this first verse, Jesus says, everything that the prophets predicted would be fulfilled. Everything. We're going to talk more about that. You see, all the Jews, including the apostles, knew the scriptures, and they knew the writings of the prophets. Amen? They studied this. They knew the writings of the prophets. But the Jews tended to ignore the prophecies of a suffering Messiah. They tended to ignore the suffering Messiah. They wanted their triumphant Messiah, remember? To come and rule and conquer, right? Their triumphant Messiah. But they ignored the fact that he had to suffer. They ignored the fact that Jesus had to suffer. Prophet Isaiah told them and warned them in Isaiah 53, in three verses, just in this text, he said, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Amen. And he says, and it says, "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shears is silent." There it is again. And then it says, "He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth." There's many, many prophecies like that that they just weren't listening to. Amen? But Jesus is saying that all these prophecies are going to come to pass. They're all going to come to pass. Not some of them or just the ones that suit you, but all the prophecies are going to come to pass. And God's word is the same for us. We can't just pick and choose what we want to believe, because God's word is going to come to pass. Whether we believe it or not, God's word is going to come to pass. You can say you don't believe there's going to be more people in hell than in heaven, but God's word says in Matthew 7, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it." God's word says there's going to be many more people in hell than in heaven, and God's word will come to pass. People today think they can create their own reality by what they believe. But God's word is never changing. Amen? God's word is never changing, and the truth will set us free. The truth will set us free. If you were born a boy, regardless of what you might think otherwise, guess what? You're a boy. And you can't change the reality of God's creation, and you can't change the word by what you believe. God's creation and God's word never changes. God created everything, including reality. And his reality is clear through what was spoken by the prophets. You know, there are about 2,500 prophecies in the Bible, of which 80% of them have already come true. All of them will come to pass. Prophecies have been 100% accurate up to this point. And the chances, get this, the chances of the rest of them not coming to pass are astronomical. It's 1 in one followed by 2,000 zeros. I was going to put it up on the screen, but I didn't have room for it. One, one and one with 2,000 zeros behind it. Obviously, all things in God's word are going to come to pass. Amen? God's word will come to pass. Jesus' death and resurrection came to pass. Amen? And so will his second coming. So Maranatha. And it better be. God, I wish it was today. And Jesus. Amen. We still got work to do, though. Amen. 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 And Jesus, the disciples, and the crowd would continue on up onto Jericho. Amen. Recently, one of the testimonies at a missions conference was so powerful that it seemed to take the breath away from the people that were attending it. It was the story of a blind woman by the name of Penny. And she was listening to the Jesus film in her village. And she was greatly moved. And she heard on the film, she heard him say that Jesus had restored the sight of a blind man. And when Penny heard these words, she cried out. She said, I want to receive my sight too. She was blind, mind you, right? She just heard the words. She said, I want to receive my sight too. At the conclusion of the film, a miracle took place. Penny could see. Jesus restored her sight. And as the mission conference attendees heard this wonderful story, they began to show emotion for such a miracle. Everyone was crying and couldn't believe this miracle had happened. They were stopped of their emotional exuberance, though, by the missionary as he gave them a reminder. And he said, the restoration of Penny's sight was not the greatest miracle that evening. That was not the greatest miracle. A greater miracle, he said, took place than the restoration of her sight. Penny received forgiveness of her sins that night. Amen? Amen? That was the greatest miracle. She received the forgiveness of her sins by trusting in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She heard Jesus speak the sweetest words of all. Your sins are forgiven. She noticed those words just as much as she noticed the restoring of the sight. Amen? That her sins had been forgiven. And so, verse 35 says that as Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Jesus is approaching Jericho, which is about 20 miles from his destination. He's getting closer, amen? And he's walking uphill, and he's walking. When he's walking, there's crowds. There's crowds all along the sides, amen? And there's a blind man sitting by the roadside begging. And in the book of Mark, it says that his name was Bartimaeus, amen? So Bartimaeus is sitting on the side of the road begging. Apparently, he was a well-known blind man because they knew his name, amen? But nonetheless, verse 36 says that when he heard the crowd going by, he asked them what was happening. He couldn't see, but he could hear it. And he asked the people, what's happening? All he could hear was the crowd. And they told him, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. You see, this man may have been blind, but he was not deaf. Amen? He was not deaf, and he would have heard many people talking about this Jesus of Nazareth that was healing all these people all over Judea. Amen? And when he heard this, when he heard that Jesus was walking, he knew that a miraculous healing was possible. Just like Penny knew, he knew a miraculous healing was possible if he believed and if he petitioned the Savior. So he would yell out in verse 38 and he would say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is the only time in the Gospel of Luke that someone calls Jesus the Son of David. The Son of David means Jesus the Messiah. Amen? The Savior. Verse 39 says that those who led the way rebuked him. The ones that were standing in front of him rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, we don't really know why the people rebuked him, why they were telling him to shut up. Maybe they objected to his calling Jesus the Son of Man, right? Not everybody believed he was the Messiah. Amen? Maybe they were shutting them up for that. Remember, they didn't all believe, but more likely it was because he was a lowly blind beggar. Amen? He was a lowly blind beggar, and the people didn't want to hear him crying out. Like he wasn't important enough to be crying out to Jesus Christ. Amen? Like he wasn't important enough. They told him, leave Jesus alone. Be quiet. But that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. Amen? He wants us to cry out to him. He wants us to cry out to him. So if you're struggling in life right now, and you need healing, you need provision, you need peace, you need hope, and the restoration of the blindness of sin and pain that's in your life, cry out to Jesus. He wants us to cry out to him. Cry out to Jesus. Whenever you're at, whatever you need, you're in need of, Jesus can answer your prayers, and he wants to hear them. Never be ashamed of the gospel. Cry out wherever you're at. Never be ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. I don't care who you are. Jesus loves you right here, right where you are. Amen? And he can heal the hurts of your life. Don't let Jesus pass you by. And I didn't know Kim was going to be here, but there she is. Don't let Jesus pass you by. And that Jesus passing by today in someone's life could be the Lord working through those who are out there doing outreach. Amen? You could be the Jesus passing by in their lives today. As a matter of fact, we were at GCU on Thursday, and part of their theology and pastoral courses, part of what they do is volunteering in street outreach. They actually volunteer in serving the homeless, helping the hopeless, amen? And by the way, anyone can join their outreach teams to serve the community if you want to, amen? But that's that they actually have a program for that. Is that amazing or what? Amen? And that blind beggar that's on the side of the road in today's text, well, there are plenty of those on every inner city, almost every inner city corner today, amen? Blind beggars on the side of the road. They might not be physically blind, but we can guess they're probably spiritually blind. Amen? And they may just need someone to tell them that Jesus loves them. That's why we're out there. Let them know Jesus loves them and that there's hope. That there's hope. Be a living hope so that they may see that there's hope. And the rest of the verse says that the blind man shouted all the more. He didn't care. Unashamed. And with a blind faith, he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And they're probably like, keep it down, man. We told you to be quiet, right? Messiah's walking by, man. Be quiet. But what does Jesus do? Verse 40 says, Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. He said, when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Amen. Amen. The healing of this blind man by Jesus gives us a view of the heart of God. That's the heart of God. Jesus was on a mission to save us all, but he was going to stop the whole crowd and the whole procession to heal one blind beggar. He was going to stop for that one blind beggar. Once again, our Lord and Savior leading by example. Amen? Leading by example. This is also a perfect example of persistence in times of trouble and need. Persistence in prayer. We talked about that at the beginning of this chapter. Amen? Persistence in prayer. And again today, this blind beggar at the end of the chapter is practicing persistence in prayer. He wasn't going to give up. He didn't care what the crowd was saying. This is another example of how we have to be persistent. We have to cry out for mercy in prayer when we're hurting and struggling. But like this blind man, a lot of times when we cry out for mercy, the crowd tries to shut us up. The crowd will try to shut us up. The crowd is an example of the things in our lives that try to extinguish our faith. Don't let Jesus pass you by. The crowd can be people in our lives that are constantly trying to convince us that our praying is a waste of time, that no one and nothing's going to help us. We have to help ourselves. That's what they say. Amen? Or they just say, you know what? Your God's not listening to you. Jesus isn't going to stop just for you. You're going to be blind forever. Let's go have a drink. Let's go get high. Let's go break some laws and have some fun. God's not listening to you is what they say. But be strong and courageous. Amen? Be strong and courageous and don't let Jesus pass you by. These are what I refer to as lies and temptations of the devil. These are lies of the devil. And they can come in many different ways, many different forms, but you can rebuke them all in the name of Christ Jesus. A lot of times our own flesh also can tempt us and discourage us in our faith and our prayers. Like we talked about before, when our prayers don't get answered right away, right? If we're sick and our prayers don't get answered right away, or on our time schedule, we can get discouraged. We can get discouraged, and the devil always knows when we're weak. Amen? The devil knows when to attack, and he will use our own bodies against us, against our faith. Remember in verse 39, it says that the crowd rebuked him. They tried to shut him up, and they told him to stop, but he shouted all the more. This is a message to all of us that when we're in the midst of our pain and our trouble and deep in prayer, don't let anyone or anything distract you from your prayers to God. We have to be prepared for the distractions of this world when we're trying to live godly lives. And we got to rely on prayer for strength and healing because the world's going to try to tell you that you're wasting your time. And the devil's going to try to get you to give up. But just like the blind man in today's text, we need to ignore the rebuking, continue to pray, and shout all the more. Continue to shout. And the good news in today's lesson is that because of those persistent shouts of prayer, Jesus would hear this call of prayer and faith, and he would stop the whole crowd of people to listen to this one man. And that's what Jesus does. Amen? He listens to each one of our prayers, and he answers them individually. Because remember, it's a personal relationship. Amen? It's a personal relationship. Remember, Jesus is God. He can have a personal conversation with all of us anytime he wants. All at the same time if he wants. Nothing's impossible for God. This man was a forgotten blind beggar standing rows back on the side of the street, drowned out by huge crowds of people, but Jesus would hear his petitions. Jesus would stop and take the time to answer his prayer. Jesus would say, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." This is God's heart for all of us. When we open our hearts to him and we cry out to him, regardless of our circumstance, regardless of our status, Jesus is going to stop and listen to our prayers. Praise God. He's going to stop, he's going to listen to our prayers, and he's going to answer. Do you need Jesus to stop and answer your prayers? Praise God. Are you crying out all the more when the world tells you that you're wasting your time? Cry all the more. Do you believe that Jesus can and will restore the blindness of sin in your life as well? Because he can. Amen? Don't let Jesus pass you by. And then lastly, what do we do when he does answer our prayers? And when he does bring us the healing that only he can bring? Verse 43 said that immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus, praising God. And when all people saw it, they also praised God. And heard a pastor say that, could you imagine? He regained his sight and he immediately started following Jesus. He followed him to the cross. He followed him everywhere and saw everything. When God delivers us from the blindness of our sins and restores our vision through Jesus Christ, are we turning our lives and our wills over to Him? Are we turning our lives and our wills over for the rest of our days? It's good to be grateful, but how much better is it to dedicate our lives to Christ and receive the greatest gift that a father's ever given? The gift of eternal life from our Father God. Amen? From all of our Father God. And that gift starts right now, right here today. Salvation starts right here, right now, today. And if you're not sure that you've received that salvation, amen? If you're not sure you received that in your life, or maybe you just want to rededicate your life, amen? I want you to say this prayer with me today. Let's say this prayer together, amen? Praise God. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Oh God, I know that I am a sinner. I believe Jesus was my substitute when He died on the cross. I believe His shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection were for me. And I now receive Him as my Savior. I thank You for the forgiveness of my sins, the gift of salvation, and everlasting life because of Your merciful grace. Amen. Now, I believe that if you prayed that prayer, that you are saved. Amen. You are saved, and that you receive the greatest gift ever given by a father, the eternal gift of salvation. So happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, and of course, happy Father's Day to our Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. Let us pray.